Chapter 15. 5 days. Mrs. Brooks, the landlady, was not usually very interested in her guests. But the visit of the thin and pale Angel Clare to the rich d'Urbervilles was very unusual. After letting him in, she went back to her own sitting room, but left the door open a little, so that she could hear bits of their conversation. When the young man left, she heard Mrs. d'Urberville go back upstairs and enter the apartment that she and her husband had rented. Mrs. Brooks quietly walked up the stairs and stood at the door of the d'Urbervilles' front room. At first, all that she could hear was one long moan.
Oh!
Then a male voice from the bedroom shouted, "What's the matter?" There were more strange sounds, and then the woman spoke angrily, though Mrs. Brooks could only hear parts of what she said.
"And then my dear husband came home to me, and I did not know that he would. After my father died, my little brothers and sisters and my mother needed help. That's how you finally forced me. You said I was stupid to think my husband would ever come back. And at last I believed you. And now he has gone for a second time, and he will not love me any more, only hate me. I have lost him again because of you. Oh, you have ruined my life. Oh, God, I cannot bear this. I cannot."
There were loud, angry words from the man. Then Mrs. Brooks heard the sound of feet moving around. Thinking that someone might suddenly come out, she hurried down the stairs and into her own apartment, which was directly under the d'Urbervilles. She began sewing, and a minute later heard someone coming quickly down the stairs. Through the open door, she saw Tess, now fully dressed and wearing a hat and shawl, leave the house alone. The landlady continued her sewing. Then, after 10 minutes or so, leaned back on her chair and wondered about the young man who had visited so early. As she did this, her eyes moved up to the white ceiling until they came to a spot in its middle. It was about the size of a nut when she first saw it, but it grew quickly, and she saw it was red. Feeling worried, Mrs. Brooks climbed up on the table and touched the spot with her fingers. It was wet, and she realized that it was blood. At the same time as Mrs. Brooks was speaking to the police, Angel Clare was entering his hotel. He ate his breakfast with empty eyes, then paid his bill. With his bag on his shoulder, he walked to the train station and learned that there would not be a train for another hour. He had nothing to hurry for, but he decided to walk to the next station and get the train from there. The road he followed went down into a deep valley. He was climbing back up the opposite hill when, for some reason, he looked back and saw a woman's shape running towards him. Angel stopped and waited. At first, he did not recognize her in her hat and shawl, but as she came close, he realized that it was Tess.
"I saw you. Turn away from the station," she said, breathing fast. "I have been following you all this way."
She was so pale and was shaking so much that he did not ask her any questions. Instead, he took her hand and led her along the road.
"Angel," she said after a while, "do you know why I have been running after you? To tell you that I have killed him."
"What?"
"I have done it. I owed it to you and to myself, Angel. He has come between us and ruined us, and now he can never do it any more. I am so relieved that I have had justice. Oh, why did you go away, Angel, when I loved you so much? I can't think why you did it, but I don't blame you. But please, will you forgive me for my sin against you, now that I have killed him? I could no longer bear you not loving me. Tell me now that you love me, dear husband. I do love you, Tess, he said, putting his arms round her tightly. But what do you mean? You have killed him. I have killed him with a knife. He heard me crying about you, and he called you by a bad name. And then I did it. He looked at her with shock. Had she lost her mind? It was terrible, if it was true. But his wife was beside him, asking him to protect her, so of course he would. He kissed her endlessly with his white lips and held her hand. I will not leave you, he cried. I will protect you with everything I have, even if you have really killed him. Knowing now that the police might be looking for her, he led her away from the road and into the edges of the huge new forest. Tess kept turning to look at him, and it was clear that she did not see how thin and white his face had become. She only saw her perfect angel, for it was the face of the one man on earth who had loved her purely. They walked for many hours until they came to a village. She waited under some trees, and soon he came back with enough food for 6 people and 2 bottles of wine. They sat down and ate some of it, then continued onwards. I think we should go into the countryside, where we can hide for a while, he said. They will be looking for us at the coast. When they have forgotten us, we can find a port and escape abroad. She did not reply, but held his arm more tightly. Though it was only May, the weather was sunny and bright, and the air was warm. They were now right in the middle of the new forest, and as evening came, they turned the corner of a lane and saw a large gate. On it, a sign read, This large mansion for rent with furniture. Behind the gate, they could see an old house. I know it, said Angel. It's Bramshurst Court. You can see that it is shut and grass is growing on the path. Some of the windows are open, said Tess. To let air into the rooms, I suppose. All these empty rooms, she cried, and no roof over our heads. They were both tired, for they had walked more than 15 miles. Angel stared at the mansion thoughtfully, then asked Tess to wait in the trees. He was gone for some time, and she was beginning to get worried when he reappeared. He had found out from a boy that an old woman looked after the place, but she only came on fine days to open and shut the windows. We can get in through one of the lower windows and rest there, he said. Tess followed him round the house until they reached an open window. Angel climbed in and pulled her in behind him. Except for the hall, all the rooms were dark. They went quietly up the stairs. Then Angel opened the door of a room and pulled the curtains open a little. They saw heavy old furniture and a large bed. Rest at last, he said, relieved, putting down his bag and the parcel of food. They sat in darkness and waited. Between 6 and 7 o'clock, they heard the woman come and close the windows, but she did not come to their part of the house.
When she had left, they shared another meal and lay down on the bed in each other's arms. The next morning was wet and foggy. Angel went to explore the rest of the house, leaving Tess asleep. Then he walked to the nearest village and bought a breakfast of tea, bread, and butter. When he came back, they ate it together. Neither wanted to travel on, and the day passed. The night followed, and the next, and the next, until 5 days had gone by. They only had each other and the sound of the birds in the new forest. They both agreed not to speak about anything that had happened since their wedding. Each time he said they should leave the mansion, she shook her head.
"Why should we end what is sweet and lovely?" she said. "What will come will come. All trouble is outside. Here, there is happiness."
Then she pressed her cheek against his.
"I am frightened that what you think of me now may not last. I would rather be dead than know you hate me."
"I cannot ever hate you."
"I also hope that, but all men will hate me sooner or later. How terribly bad I was. Yet, before this, I could not hurt an insect, and a bird in a cage made me cry."
They remained there another day. But in the night, the sky cleared, and early the next morning, the woman came to open the windows. At 6 o'clock, she was climbing the stairs to the bedrooms when she had the sudden feeling that someone was inside one of the rooms. She opened the door softly and saw the two lovers sleeping with their arms round each other. Tess's lips, like a half-open flower, lay near Angel's cheek. The woman gently closed the door and went quickly back down the stairs.